I came very, you have no idea how close we came to doing this whole thing without me hitting the record button. It was very close. It
I think we would have noticed.
A little off to the side of my window, and I didn't hit the little red button.
No, I think we would have noticed.
Would we have, though?
I don't know how far along, but I do think I would have been like, hey, remember that time? Remember that time we lost 45 minutes? We lost an entire episode.
You remember that 45 minutes of our lives that we'll never getting back?
Yeah.
From just outside the perimeter, a little bit more outside the perimeter, and way the hell outside the perimeter of Atlanta, Georgia.
You need to find a new way to introduce East Cobb.
Yeah, because I don't know if he's talking about me being really, really far or you being really, really far. Because
you're further than me.
And he's only like 20 minutes from me, like not even 15, 18 minutes from me. Like, that's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Where Yorgos continues to score and Orlando is winless in 4.
Ooh!
No, that's good. It's good. It rhymes.
Yeah, that's good. I vibe with that.
Is that gin you're drinking from that?
No, this is water after yesterday, and it is the Five Takes podcast, and oh my god, are we back?
We're back, baby.
Like Hollywood Rock, heel Rock. For the WWE fans out there, it's been quite good over the past few months. The Rock is back, and it's the Rock in his best form, back in the days when he was more of a villain. He's got his old intro music, new intro music, and the storylines with him and Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins. And
I don't know who any of these people are.
You're just yakking off into the ether here.
I didn't think there would be, but there is a significant amount of crossover between Atlanta football fans here and the WWE.
Oh, no.
I can do a very good eyebrow, though.
Oh, let's see it. We don't have the video up yet. Apologies. Still working on that. It's coming.
I can do two eyebrows. I can do one that's like angry, like mad, like.
Oh,
whatever.
That's right. Wow. Oh, wow. Y'all are missing out. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
But then I can do confused with the other side.
Oh my gosh. If y'all could see this, you would see that Kat has literally the most expressive eyebrows.
I was confused just looking at the confused face.
That takes a lot of facial like
control.
Practice for facial musculature control. I didn't get
I can
that.
I also do a very good double crossed eyes.
Top tier content. Top tier content. Oh dear Lord, we are sharp as a tack tonight. Here we go. Oh man, yesterday was a match. Oh boy, was it on St. Patty's Day. And if you've ever been to a tailgate at St. Patty's Day with Jennifer, not that she needs a reason to come up with creative ways to consume alcohol. Boy, did she yesterday. It involved Jameson with butterscotch.
Yes.
Jameson with butterscotch.
So you shoot that off the golden spike, mm-hmm. put that to your mouth, and you just shoot it back. And quickly followed up by a shot of orange juice, a little OJ, and then a piece of bacon.
Wow, that sounds
Irish
delicious.
Irish breakfast shot. And they were absolutely delicious.
I like it. Sounds
it was very complicated. There were many of them.
Don't worry. I got you covered because I got half a bottle of the premix left. So the next time we hang out, we can finish them off.
There was a lot going on. There was a lot going on at that match. And we're still kind of feeling the effects from that today. I had to get up very early this morning like Kristen did. And I don't know what time you ended up, Jennifer. I don't remember.
No. So I had. Let's see.
At
my
least
day
it
started.
Was a day. By the
day,
time you.
Maybe. My day started with 4 or 5 beautiful JoJo's Fun Cups. So you didn't get the fun. I'll have to drag you over to TL and
wait.
Get some
started
fun
today.
Cups.
You had more fun cups today.
No, not today. That was
oh,
yesterday.
Oh, okay. I was talking about just getting through today. My Lord.
I am hoping that nobody I work with actually listens to this because at about 10:45, I had to go full Bloody Mary. It was the only, I'd had an entire pot of coffee, and the only way I was going to get through today was some Zing Zang and some Tito's and a lot of hot sauce.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. That was me after our win last week. I think it was literally midday, well, and I just said I had to have a beer. You know, I had to give it a little hair of the dog because I wasn't making it. It wasn't working.
Thank God that it's an away match.
Yeah, I think we all need the break because doing this back to back, you know, the older we get, the harder it is.
Yeah.
No, the harder the recovery, you know, you can still party hard. It's just you wake up the next day and you're like, wow, I am not 25. And this hurts. My head hurts a lot.
The wind didn't hurt. The wind was good.
The wind
was good. Different type of wind, perhaps, than maybe we're used to seeing. Maybe not the dominant, flowing, controlled match, you know, the type of home win where maybe we want to see, we're used to seeing, but hey, a win's a win. And if we can win in different ways, in ways that maybe this team or the close to this iteration of this team like we had last year, I know there's a bunch of new players, but this version of Atlanta United, if we can win like that too.
Yeah, dogging out a win is not a bad thing. Grinding something all the way to the end and like having to fight for it and having to be able to kill off the last 17, 18 minutes of a game when you finally feel like they were starting to gain some ground on us. Because I know it wasn't dominant, but I don't think that I felt at any point that they were really truly in control of the match. I still felt like we had control most of the time. But yeah, just being able to just, you know, bare your teeth, bite your lip, and just grit on through it is not a bad win at all. And it was still a clean sheet. We got two really solid, not gimme goals, not, you know, from the run of play, not from set pieces.
Very good goals.
These were excellent goals. I think, you know, a grindhouse game is a good thing too. And this was legit.
Yeah, this one felt a little bit more like the rivalry of old with Orlando.
Yeah, yes.
You know, it become kind of just, I don't know, stale or whatever. Like it didn't feel the same. And this felt like a little extra on it. The ref probably helped with that a bit, with just some of his uneven officiating and inability to manage the emotions of the match.
Yeah, Janssen was there from the beginning, you know, and I think like the last couple of years, last like two seasons, you know, we haven't had Joseph there. And so that's where a lot of the rivalry came from too. He was like I think Taylor Twellman was calling him the villain, you know, he was very, you know, and he loved to play that part when it came to the Orlando rivalry. So without Joseph being there, it was kind of like, well, who's the antagonizer here? You know, and we didn't, there's a couple of other staple people that were on the Orlando squad that aren't there anymore either, you know, and Janssen was there. He's been there from the beginning. And sure enough, he's the one that caused the most problems and made it the most chippy in the midfield. And, you know, that I think definitely helped to kind of pull that rivalry back.
You know, and I haven't seen Goose that mad in a very,
he was
very
pissed.
Yo,
time.
Goose freaked me out for a minute. I was concerned when he went down. But did we see? And I don't know if we've ever seen this before. Did we see Goose do a little bit of the dark arts there? Was he really hurt? Was he just trying to give the team a break, reset things? You know, because a keeper's always going to get defer to him because he's the keeper. You know what I'm saying?
Are we going to save it for the takes or are we going to get into
it? Yeah, let's save it for the takes. But I'm just not so sure. He might have been playing games there and that's new.
I was just going to say, you know, what I also took away from this is that, yeah, great, gritty win, right? Like, I will take that. It was a grinder. It was a meat grinder of a match.
Yep.
But it was a team win. There was a lot of different contributions from players on all parts of the pitch. It was not a win that relied on a moment of brilliance or, you know, some wonder strike or, you know, some sort of talent flash, right? This was everybody coming together and, you know, putting the meat in the grinder to come out with the sausage. Bangers and mash all day long.
I just wasn't sure what you were gonna say. I was just like, everybody's grinding out the sauce. I'm like, what?
I'm not sure what any of us are gonna say tonight. We're still recovering here. We're doing our best. But agreed, this was a really, really difficult match, even still at home.
The other thing that I saw Goose do, by the way, is he never really, you know, being the captain most of the time, he's not a guy to really go after the ref or like really get in a ref's face or really disagree with them all that much. And I saw at one point the ball came off. They said that the ball came off of him and they were awarded a corner. It was when they were at the when Orlando was going away from the supporter section. So second half, and he's sitting there going, no, he's shaking his head going, no way, no fucking way, no way. And he's saying that the ball didn't come off him, that he never touched it. And it's just rare that you see that kind of like, for us, it's a visual thing, but for him, for it to be so vocal, for him to be so vocal towards a ref about a particular decision, you know, you'll see him shake his head when a goal is scored against him or when our guys are, you know, you'll see him be vocal with the guys. I don't usually see it against the refs. So he was definitely a big, he was definitely against a lot of the calls and being very vocal about it.
Agreed. Well, before we get into this meat grinder of a match, if you yourself feel like you have been put through a meat grinder,
Me. I'm in a meat grinder.
Yeah, me too. I'm not sure, like, depending on how ground up you are, it might be too far. But if you're, like, not quite all the way ground, I think Mason Mill might be able to help you out. They are a chiropractor in town in Atlanta, Georgia. The best one in town, coincidentally. How about that? We chose the best one. We could have chose any chiropractor, but we went with the absolute best. We've been going there for a long, long, long time. I will be continuing to go there long, long after, well, not after Atlanta's done. Atlanta's never going to be done. Hopefully this thing continues for the rest of our lives.
Quite some
time. Atlanta forever.
We hope so. We hope so. But go see Mason Mill if you are feeling a bit rough. Chiropractic care is a really important part of your overall health. Give Mason Mill a call, 404-321-0082. Ashley or Rachel will be on the other end of the line and get you set up with your appointments. You can also go on to masonmillchiro.com. They are in Decatur, Georgia, off of McConnell Mill Drive. All righty then.
So it's not a take. It's not a take, but I think we need to get it out in the open.
Okay, you want to before we go into anything else? Sure.
Yeah,
go
because ahead. it was definitely brought up across multiple social media channels as a response to our takes and whatever to the reffing. It was a hot mess.
That was terrible.
But I seem to recall many a match last season where we bitched just as much about pro. Right?
Absolutely. And I hear, like, there's some hypocrisy here, you think, of us, like, boy, we want pro back. And it's not like any of us were, like, glowing about pro or have been over the years.
I mean, what I would really like in an ideal universe is for MLS to actually step up, take an active role in referee training, for U.S. Soccer Federation to actually invest money in training for referees.
Get what you pay for.
You know, so I'm not, and look, I'm not saying it's easy to go out there and run constantly, however many miles it is that the center ref runs, and have to make split second judgment calls that are going to decide.
Very hard job.
It's not an easy thing to do. And there is a lot of nuance and understanding to it that really can only be achieved by actual training. So
what we're asking for.
Yeah.
Or at least I think you're asking for is more, give these guys more tools.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. Make it easier for them. Give them a little bit, you know, we had that on one of Five Asides when we had Jack on and we were talking about like giving the refs that, you know, the blue card, something in between that's not going to destroy, you know, like you hate admitting we were right.
Hate the blue card, don't want it. I understand the idea, the concept behind it of giving an official center ref an additional tool to be able to use to make the game hopefully better, be able to manage things better. I understand that. I don't think it would work personally but I understand the idea. And anything we can do to help officials out via training or whatever it is, increased pay, You do get what you pay for. We should do that. And this guy, he was just out of his depth. And it really showed. It really showed. It looked amateurish. Just in the way he was interacting with the players, the way he was making the calls, he looked like just...
And the larger
too
concern,
many levels above for him. He wasn't ready for this.
And I wonder why we're not seeing more pressure from the clubs on MLS and pro.
Well,
to
it's going
to
take
this.
It's going
to
take a match deciding.
Someone's going to get hurt. They're going to lose. They're going to lose a Suarez, or they're going to lose,
like that.
You know, a Buenga, or they're going to lose some big marquee player to some stupid call, because
it's
going to
be
Jeff didn't call. He called all this crap for dissent and arguing, and he couldn't tell when, you know, Goose touched a ball for a corner or whatever, but the head injuries and the actual injury risk plays that should have been called went completely unnoticed.
Yeah, Zonde got horse collared tackled. I think that was Zonde.
That's a red card.
Yeah, he got tossed to the ground.
That's a red card. Like, what was anybody else? When you look at that, when I was watching that in real time, I couldn't believe that.
It was bad. I hope you're not right. I don't want to see it come to a player being injured or a result unfairly given, earned, you know. But it feels like it's going to take something big like that to really break the deadlock. And that's unfortunate. It's got to get better. It's got to get better. We got to invest more into officiating, training, bringing new members up. Who wants to go? I mean, it's already a hard job. And when you make it harder by not paying them so that this can just be their job and they don't have to do, like, you know, like what a Geiger did and also teach,
right?
Be a full-time teacher. Like, I want my match officials. What do you do for a living? I officiate soccer. Major League Soccer in the United States. That's what I do. That's my job. And I make enough where that's, you know, I can make a living off of this and I can dedicate myself to this. I can get better. It's hard to dedicate yourself to something if it's not providing for you and your family, you know, enough. You can only dedicate so much of yourself and your time and energy to that craft, to getting better, because you've got other obligations that you have to meet that require your time and energy.
Just to be fair, the quality of reffing is a global issue. It is not just something that we deal with here, because all of these rules and all of these regulations are set by that other acronym that's not FIFA that I can't remember.
IFAB.
IFAB. Yeah. So all these rules are set by IFAB. So there should be a standard, you know, that everybody is brought up to at a certain level. And there should be a global training program that FIFA should step up to the plate and invest in, because if they want to grow the game, they have to protect their marquee players.
But then
because
it becomes
that is how they market the game.
I don't think we'll ever get to like a standard, like any ref could ref anywhere, because the leagues have more money to pay officials more. You know, the base level we're at right now is, you know, probably what we saw last night. As far as like being able to competently call a match, it's not like he made any egregious errors that affected the outcome. He didn't. But it was just really uneven. It was exasperated by how uneven it was, and that just kind of added the fuel to the match. It could have gotten out of hand. It didn't, but it could have, and it probably will at some point, especially if we see him again, or, you know, these lower officials who don't have the expertise, don't have the experience, don't have the training.
We also really haven't had any real serious rivalry matches yet where there's a lot more bad blood and, you know, history there where a ref has allowed something to get out of control or lost control of the match. And again, it's a recipe for disaster. So,
that could happen this weekend. Toronto. Yeah. We got some bad blood there, and I'm a little nervous about TRA, because he's probably going to be our guy up top, and he plays with a lot. He plays on the edge of a yellow all the time. So we'll see. I think the refs are going to have a lot on their hands this week. I just want it to get better. End the lockout. I just want that standard to be raised. We have been raising the standard of this league has been is raised on the rise, on the play on the field, the product that we're putting out. So it stands to reason that the men and women charged with overseeing each match, that standard should also rise. But it can't just happen. Like, investment has to be there, time, energy, agreements between MLS and pro, like effort, good faith effort has to be made on both parties in order to raise that standard and for the officiating to get better, because that's what we want. I don't want to be talking about refs. I hate it. I hate it. Every time we have to have a take on a ref, it doesn't happen all the time, but it happens enough. And that's not what I want to talk about.
No, but I do want to be clear that we're not, you know, we're not Apple TV broadcasters who have a no talk about it mandate and the way it's affecting the game. It is, you know, we've been lucky the first two matches, we really didn't have a problem. This is the first time where we've really seen, well, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if this guy was able to hack it or not. And, you know, we do see around the league, there are lots of teams that are saying, yeah, stuff's getting out of hand.
No, we could talk about it. I just don't like talking about it. You know, it's like what you said about our last match. I think Jack said it as well. You know, a really good player like in the midfield, like a number six like Bartow. If you don't say his name a whole lot, or you don't say the defender's names a whole lot, it means they're kind of just doing their job. I just want the refs to just do their job. I don't want to mention their names. I appreciate what they're doing. It is a really, really hard job. I don't expect perfection. They don't need to get everything right. But what we saw last night was unacceptable. It's below the standard, the base level. It's not even there. And they've got to come to agreement and fix this and get better. All right, moving on. So number one, we're not really a team for the dark arts. We are not Philly, but we cosplayed a little bit last night, I feel like.
How dare you? How dare you? Don't say we were playing curtain ball. I'll have to go.
No, definitely not. We weren't rolling around, but it was gritty. It was, we were breaking up the play. We weren't, I mean, we only had 43% possession the whole match. So gritty, far from being dominant, but we were dominant in the key moments. And yeah. I think that's what's most important. I know Gonzo, and he mentioned it in his press conference, he wants us to have more of the ball. Again, I really liked what Gonzo had to say. I really liked him not being totally satisfied. Very happy for the clean sheet. Excellent. Very happy for the win, obviously. But he's still pointing out things that he's not happy with. And us not having the ball and dominating the play and controlling the tempo was one thing he wasn't happy with. I love that he's saying that. And he's right.
And he's right.
Right. He's 100% right.
Yep.
But I'm happy to see us win in a different way, because we don't win that way a whole lot.
I think I was so you know, much in the same vein that you're saying, like, I like that we've played three matches this season and all three of them have looked completely, you know, completely different, right?
It's true. Yeah, so, it's really, you know, true, we right? looked
what yes
very different very we very looked, different
I think we looked a little bit more, you know, we looked very disorganized at the start, out of the gate against Columbus. We looked,
agreed.
we lacked fundamental focus. We didn't switch on. And then, you know, mm-hmm, going into New England, it took a while to grow into the game. We were a little bit more solid defensively. We were certainly better from a fundamental standpoint, but then we switched on the offense and, you know, did the direct, you know, like took the entire second half to do nothing but play direct and throw chances. And then you come into a match like this, which I think we all kind of hinted could have been a trap, because Orlando absolutely came in here a wounded beast. Have they won in league play yet? I don't think they've won in league play yet. And
Orlando? No. They're winless in four. And they got Orlando knocked out of CONCACAF by Tigres again. Second year in a row they've been knocked out by Tigres.
So, you know, that's when a lion is probably at its most dangerous, when it's, you know, flailing around, grasping into air with its giant sharp claws and whatnot, that this could have very easily turned into something that we didn't want. So, you know, credit to Goose for being the crafty MFing wall that he is, because you know, like we said before, I've never seen him that angry. Like, he was so, every time there was a corner kick or some sort of little bit of sloppy defensive play, he was up in people's grills. He was in his own teammates' grills. Mm-hmm. Like, no, 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 you need to be better. Be sharper. And let me tell you, if we walked away having given up a goal yesterday, I think his head might have exploded because he was that upset with so much of what was going on there. But the fact that we were able to grind out a clean sheet in a completely different type of look and play and setup, you know, that's kind of smart on Gonzo's part. He's not showing everything that we have right now. So when people go to look at game tape to prepare for a match against us, which Atlanta United are you going to get?
Yeah, true. Good point. Yeah.
You know, last year, that wasn't a, you know, it was, is the competent Atlanta United going to show up?
Right.
Or is the right. really shitty Atlanta United that's going to let everything go past us like we're a sieve going to show up? And this year, I think teams have a lot of thinking to do because Gonzo has mixed it up somewhat tactically.
We're 100% committed to playing out of the back. That's number two. We're finally getting a taste of how that's supposed to work. It is high risk, high reward. It's who we are. Tonight, it finally was like it was executed really well.
Yeah, it did. There wasn't a lot of just absolutely pointless flailing long balls from Goose that he had to just use as clearances just to simply clean it out of the backyard. It when we were bringing the ball out, even though it may have even at times seemed like they didn't know where they were going with it, the point was, they were taking the ball forward from the back and taking it forward.
There was purpose to it. It wasn't just back pass and stopping a counterattack. We were actually building up and going. You could see that, drawing them in.
It didn't feel like we were flailing from the.
What do you think made that switch on? Like, what do you think was the difference
more
between
time?
The first two matches?
For me, time, like actually on the field, playing a match in front of a crowd, under the lights, bringing it all together because that matters. You know, you can be on the practice pitch all you want. You can play preseason matches, but once you actually get into it and like we've said, you're actually grinding it out with those other 10 people around you. You're never going to, it's just seat time. It's just learning how to ride.
It seemed just like everybody's communicating a little bit better, understanding one another better, where everybody's at, just more gelling. It kind of felt like that. Yeah, I agree with that. It's still risky, but it felt like you could see the reward and it might be worth it.
But the reason why I like it is because it's about control. It's about us controlling the narrative, not just controlling the game. You're controlling the narrative of the game, which is we want to have the ball. We're going to have it whether
we didn't have it, but
it's a mindset too is that we're going to control the ball from every moment that we have it. So if that means we've got it in our half, then we're going to have it and we're going to play out of the back with it, and we're going to bring it forward because we want to, not because we're just trying to get rid of it. So I think it has a lot to do with it. It's the mentality.
I hear you. Despite us only having 43% of the ball, it was meaningful.
Didn't feel like it.
We didn't need 60% of the ball tonight.
No, remember, I'm watching from home. So I'm physically watching on a screen where I'm watching things go from left to right and right to left the entire game. You guys are both from the vantage.
That's generally how it goes.
No, listen, asshole. What I'm saying is that you're sitting in the stands and you're seeing it either come towards you or go away from you. The vantage is different, Dick. So I can see the way that's why my opinion matters, is because I'm sitting at home and I'm watching a physically different vantage point than you guys. So for me, you telling me that we only had 43%?
It felt like more to you.
Blows my mind. I would have said flip flop it the other way around. I would have said 60% us. So it's surprising.
Kat, I think that's because there was so much of the match played outside of the 30-yard lines and in the middle with possession kind of in dispute.
Absolutely.
And
sure.
you know, when you watch the match in real time, they've started doing that possession tracker where you have, you know, possession on the one side for one team, possession on the other. But then in the middle, it's kind of up for grabs. And I feel like last night there was a lot of possession up for grabs that ultimately somehow on stat trackers was awarded to Orlando, even though Orlando didn't have actual control and directive drive with the ball. I think the big reason for that is because last night was the first chance we really got to see Bartosz do what Bartosz is
and he did it.
Capable of
and
doing.
And he did it. Yeah, he really did it. He did it very well last night.
And he was really so much more active and involved in stopping their press. You know, that was, and there was a couple of really key defensive plays that he made that he turned into beautiful outlet balls that led to chances offensively. And low key, he was my man of the match. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to take away from the offensive players, but
he's the non-offensive or non-goal scoring man of the match for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's one of those guys where, you know, he's finally, I think, figuring out the space and the timing and the rhythm between everybody else to be that kind of connective glue that we need him to be, but also to allow us to push seven people up to the front. You can't do that unless you've got four people in the back that you can really rely on.
Sure.
Three people in the back that you could really rely on. Plus a goalie named Goose.
Yep. Agreed.
Or Cohen, whoever.
A few comments that we got on our various social timelines kind of expressed similar things. Some trepidation about, you know, just playing out of the back and it being a little bit risky. Soul Runner on Instagram feels like we wish could have been a little more clinical in front of goal, but he also thinks that this match was really gritty, like we're talking about too. Let's see, what else? Who else had some things to say about playing out of the back?
Duque Allen said that he liked the technical ability of our defensive backs, but felt like they were getting out of positions at time and that we were lucky Orlando couldn't exploit it. I don't disagree with that either. Orlando was missing a couple of big players due to red card and other, I think there was somebody else was out. But
I don't,
yeah.
I kind of take issue and apologies if it's Duque?
Yeah, we're sorry. We're not really sure. But apologies. I went with the French version. Duque.
I'm not sure I entirely agree with his sentiment of, you know, feeling that some of our defensive backs can get out of position sometimes. It's their position. We just play high. They're not really out of position. They're doing as instructed. You know what I mean? I get what he's saying of it, but, you know, this isn't soccer of 20, 25 years ago. It's the game has changed. You don't just, defensive backs don't just stay home anymore. That's certainly not how we play, and it's largely not how the game is played across the globe nowadays. So I don't think they're necessarily out of position, but yeah, is there some defensive risks we take by playing that way? Yeah, absolutely. And that's just what we have to live with. All right, moving on to number three. So Saba, which, how do we feel about Conte's new goal call?
My fave. Sign me up. I'm here for it. Listen, all y'all, this is sabotage. So much sabotage. And that
didn't
needs
come
to go
up with
up.
That one sooner.
No. He said it last year when he scored the first time he did. He totally said it last year.
I don't
and he
remember
kept
it.
Waiting and waiting and waiting for an excuse to say it again, and we didn't have one. And that needs to be the supporters' chant that we learn for the next match. Listen,
I'm
all y'all, this is sabotage. Listen, all y'all, this is sabotage. Yeah, I'm here for all of the fun things again. And yeah, no, that was, he was possessed.
He was.
He was really,
he
really
was more
pissed
than
he didn't
just
get called up to Georgia. I think that's what, like, he was pissed. Like,
you know what? He might have been playing with a little something on his shoulder, a little chip on the shoulder for this match. I forgot about that. He mentioned that, I think, that he was really disappointed to not have been called up. So that might have been him sending a message.
And it's
to the other Georgia
guy, because the guy is good. It's really odd. I can't think of I literally could not name a single solitary Georgian player literally at all until him now. So I'm like, damn, what else have they got going on over there? Because if they don't want him, do we need to start recruiting like exclusively out of the country of Georgia.
I'll say this. I'm bummed for him. I'd like him to be called up, but I really like having a player of his quality not be called up.
Yeah, when we're gonna be missing as many people as we are, I love the fact that we can have some consistency
Keep signing players that are right on that edge of being called up that country doesn't quite want them, but they're great for us. That'd be awesome. Because we're going to be missing six players.
Yeah, we're not talking. Toronto. We're still enjoying last night. We're not jumping ahead to our therapist couch yet.
So Saba, like I said, we've had buzzing players before, right? Who kind of just appear to have done 10 lines before they come onto the pitch, and they're just everywhere, right? And they appear to be dangerous at all times. This guy is dangerous, and he's showing it. You can't ignore him at your peril. You can't. You have to honor him at all times because he will just go off, get an assist, get a goal, be involved in some way in the buildup towards a goal.
I love it though because he's not the absolute fastest. He is fast. He's not the absolute tallest.
He's quick.
He's average. Yeah, he is quick.
And that's different than fast. You know what I mean? Like his reaction time, the way he's seeing the game, it makes him appear to be even faster.
But he doesn't appear to be physically formidable in just one specific area. And so I think that's helpful. It kind of lets him slip a little bit under the radar. And like you said, forget about him at your own detriment because he's going to make you pay. This is the beginning. This is just the beginning of Saba time.
He reminds me of
a coked up ferret. Just, you know what I mean?
That's an analogy.
They're already shooting around everywhere.
They're furry danger noodles to begin with. So yeah, I mean,
that's what he is. He's a furry danger noodle. What?
What is a danger?
We're doing noodle is a snake. So a danger noodle is a snake. So a furry danger noodle is a ferret or a mongoose. More you know.
Okay. I've never heard that before in my life. Okay.
You've never heard of a snake referred to as a danger noodle?
I know what a danger frog is.
Have you heard of a raccoon be referred to as a trash panda?
Yes.
Same line of memes. Truly.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Top tier content.
Yeah. This is what people want to hear.
This is what you tune in for.
Yep. You always wanted to know what a danger noodle was, and now you do.
Yep.
Boy, and that analogy.
Don't make it dirty. Don't get there. No.
We're outnumbered
on gender on this podcast.
Yes, we are,
sir.
And we would like to point that out. We are one of the few Atlanta United podcasts that have consistent
female representation.
So,
and from the beginning, and to be fair, it has been you and me from the beginning, and adding more feminine energy in our good friend Jennifer could never have been a bad thing. So, yeah. I love that it was actually pointed out. It was funny because it was pointed out in a post when people were saying there isn't enough, and they said, "Hey, wait, Five Takes has it all the time." And
yes,
I love
thank
that.
You. Thank you for yeah, calling.
Thank
us
you,
out
whoever.
Like that.
Thank you very much.
We do have that all the time and so much more.
I think we not only have quality feminine energy, but we also have non-toxic masculine energy. Like that's Glenn true. Is the least, like he cries like every other episode. Anytime we talk about supporter things,
every other episode.
Yes.
Every other episode.
It's a good track record. It's on the next one, Glenn. We love you for your vulnerability.
It's healthy. It's healthy to cry.
We're a couple episodes into Glenn not crying now. So maybe I should talk about Littlefoot's mom dying or Mufasa
Bambi getting shot. Oh wait, no,
it's
you're
just
you
really
for young for that. Shot?
Being yeah. being a blue makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
At least in recent years, yes. I know I'm privileged. 21 trophies, I get it, but it's been
and we've years. Wandered so far off the path now.
Yes, we have. All right.
Anyway,
coming back to Saba.
Saba is awesome.
Saba time.
the thing I would like to add is, like, you know, you talk about underestimating him. And so, cool, shine a spotlight on Saba. That's great. You know what that's going to do? It's going to open up, you know, push more people to cover him, which is going to open Jonde up, which is going to open, you know, Brooks and Wiley up, which is going to open Almada up, which is going to, you know, that's the beautiful thing about the way this team is constructed and the fluidity that we have with the chemistry that's building between, you know, the forward four plus the fullbacks that can play as wingers, and, you know, now having kind of the quality level of midfield that we've been looking for many, many years.
Right. The more ability that we have for multiple players to score, the more dangerous we are. Because as much as I loved the Joseph and Miggy show and I don't want to say that we were one note, but that's not what I mean. But it was, they knew when you had those two lining up together that was the attack, that was the danger, go cover them. The more weapons we have, the more that we push the ability for people like Brooks to score, for, you know, get in there, Mayumba, take a shot, sure, whatever it takes. If every time somebody else scores that isn't Gigi is a good thing for us. It's a good thing.
That's going to segue really well into number five. I'll come back to four about Yorgos and how he has been more involved in the buildup. I mean, the ball to Saba is ridiculous.
Absolutely. Like, spot on.
Did not know he had that in his bag, but apparently he does. It shows him to be even more dangerous because of it. And therefore, we are more dangerous as a team because of that, because we can win in different ways. We can score in different ways. You know, he is not just a big target forward. He's also that. Can't be that. He is that. But yeah, I mean, it's just like you were saying, it's just on that note of being dangerous in a variety of ways. Now here's our nine that can also drop back and facilitate the play, link up the play. That's huge, man. It's huge.
And it's just, you know, the swagger, the attitude.
He's got it.
But not just the attitude from but there's, you know, there is a you know, we were talking about vulnerability a minute ago. There's a vulnerability and a caring vibe that, like, you see that man is putting the team on his back. And when somebody messes up or somebody, you know, something doesn't go right, Yorgos is right there picking them up and carrying them. It's real.
Sometimes literally, literally. We saw with the second Columbus match last year. That's still one of my favorite moments of the season, of him going over to Jonde, right?
Yeah.
And picking him up after he missed what was all a of sitter. Us on.
Yeah. I mean, like, I will cry thinking about that, because it was really just this beautiful, organic thing.
It's not just me.
But it's this beautiful, organic thing. And, you know, I appreciate the risk that he took in taking on that role that was really owned and loved by, you know, that was owned and loved by Joseph, and doing the thing that, if you've ever seen the musical Aladdin, the genie in Aladdin does, is not trying to be Robin Williams, because you know you can't be Robin Williams. There's no replacing Robin Williams. You got to find a way to put your own stamp on it and make it yours.
He's done it. And he wanted, moreover, he wanted to do it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I thought you were going to say, you said wanted. You're saying wanted to do it. I thought you were going to say won it. And I don't disagree. No. I was going to agree with that. I agree with that. He won it. He won the position. Well,
he's won the hearts and minds of the fans.
And that's what I mean. He has won that.
He had the hardest job in the world. You're taking over for an icon, a legend. There will still be a statue. And he didn't shy away from it, but he did it in such, and continues to do it in such an authentic, genuine way. And he's also delivering on all of it, you know, like,
yeah,
full credit
he's
to
got
him.
A striker's mentality, so he's not going to be 100% humble all the time. He's
no,
say,
and I don't want my striker to be. I want you to be brash.
I agree. And aggressive. Yeah. And like, I am here to score goals. If I am not here doing that, then what is my purpose? And I love that. He's got the striker's mentality, and he has really seamlessly just found a home.
Can't say enough about the guy. I mean, yeah, he's just done everything the right way.
We've been really, you know, we continue to be the Frank DeBoer spoiled brat club because we were really, really lucky to have the Joseph and Miggy show. And right now we're really lucky to have this thing that's going on here, but in particular, the Brooks and Yorgos show.
Because yeah, that's great. Man, that's another really great combo.
Beautiful, beautiful connection. I'm so glad to see the national media talking about the quality that Brooks brings to the table with his service and
unsung
his
defensive hero
play. And nobody has talked about that man for 4 years, and he has quietly gotten it done and gotten the ball where it's supposed to, and there was nobody there to put it home. Mm-hmm. And now we have somebody who can. And while I'm gesturing wildly, my cat is trying to eat my arm. But yeah, I'm here for it. I'm here for it. And, you know, I love the chemistry that those two have, the balls that you know, and Brooks even said in an interview, like, he just puts the ball in the spot because he knows Yorgos is going to get there, which is, you can't buy that. You cannot buy that.
Now that's two players understanding one another.
I'm watching it again, just as we're talking about it, and their connection, the no look back pass that Brooks gives, that he lays it off to Yorgos. That's the kind of connection that
it's a Vulcan mind meld.
You can't buy. And it's something that has to form, though, over time. You know, it didn't happen instantaneously last summer when we got him. And it has now. And it's just going to be more lethal as they continue to go forward. And that's a combination that is going to strike fear into the hearts of our opponents and is going to score us goals. It is.
Final point, and it's not a big one, but it was kind of odd from Orlando that, I mean, we enjoyed kind of all the benefits of a high press, but very little of the consequences. Like, their line of confrontation was high. They just didn't get very confrontational until, like, the second half. I mean, maybe, and I was a little surprised that, well, first of all, we did what I wanted us to do, get the early goal.
Yes.
Get the early goal. Huge. Because if they were going to flip that around, then they were going to sit in and bunker and just do whatever they could to get out with a point.
But it's
getting
it's
a goal in the ninth minute was huge. And it didn't really force them out of their shell. I mean, I just didn't see them really coming at us. They had a couple of chances, but it was just kind of odd.
They didn't try to turn us over,
but maybe we were just more, and I think they were careful and tidy with the ball, with the possession that we had.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A lot of their biggest issues with that, they were really, and this was
they did look tired, and they should be.
And they should be, but this was a big flip-flop, because last year, a lot of things that we had a problem with was we could get the ball all the way down into the final third, and then we didn't know what to do with it. And that's what their problem was last night, is that they're sort of lacking that out-and-out striker. No.
I mean, we had the most goals in the league last year. Finishing was not an issue. Goals against,
before the summer, brought in new players, we had a lot of issues with, we had an attack, but it wasn't an organized, formulated attack. Like, what are we going to do now that we have the ball? How are we going to, what's the plan taking it all the way
midfield,
in?
Midfield, that was our issue.
Sure. Well, yeah, whatever. Midfield. Call it what you want. But what kept getting pointed out last night by Twellman in regards to Orlando is that they lacked that last, you know, what are we going to do? We're all the way down here. Now we've got it. Now what are we going to do with it? So
that
was their big issue was, and I don't mean finishing. I mean, understanding and having a game plan, a formulated attack, an organized attack of what do you do when you get into the final third, Jennifer?
I think I understand what you're saying. It's that whole pointless possession thing of you can get the ball here and then you're not taking shots and you're waiting too long until you're trying to get
back passing, you're moving it around.
Yeah, exactly.
You're sending it side to side, or you're taking needless shots that are just skying over the pitch, you know.
Maybe they had 11 shots to our 13, only 3 on target. We had 7 on target.
So that would have been that, and that's something I wanted to point out too. Is that
they didn't take the shot? Sorry, I'm sorry to cut you off there, Jennifer. I'm gonna let you get back to that. That's what the issue was, though, Glenn. Is that there were opportunities where they didn't take the shot because it didn't present itself because they would get down there and then they didn't know what to do with it. Sorry, Jennifer.
Well, and also to add to what you said, you had Sleash who was taking the ball off of Orlando players in dangerous positions.
Very
you
much
also
so.
Also had Williams who was really in command.
Who I was going to say was my low-key man of the match.
Ah.
Derek Williams.
Yeah, if not for a goal and assist, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
But, you know, Yorgos is going to get that.
No. Like I said, low-key defender, because if he hadn't had that push, he would have had a goal if they went and called him on that push.
Is he okay? He looked like he was struggling a little bit towards the end. Might have just been tired, cramped.
I think he was just tired, cramped. I didn't see anything. There seemed quite a bit of that. There was a lot of physicality.
They didn't say anything about it.
There was a lot of physicality in this. There was a lot of, like we were saying, just chippiness. Staying down, Goose staying down for a minute. I'm not sure what that was all about, if he was actually hurt or he's just, you know, channeling his inner curtain mentality. I don't know. But
well, every goalkeeper has it in them to be a little bit tactical.
And that's fine.
If they have to. I don't think we needed it. I think, like I said,
I think we did.
In that moment, we might have.
Really, really smart. I know, because from my vantage point where I'm looking at the away goal in the second half, right?
Yeah.
And the home goal is on this side. I could see there were some breakaway moments. They were getting quite a few set pieces toward the end. That's one of the things Goose was really pissed off about. You know, so we were asking extra things of our defense in terms of defending set pieces and corners and stuff like that, which is late. That's not clean and tight and tidy, right, on the ball. That's what leads to those kind of things. And Goose absolutely trying to break up any momentum Orlando was trying to build on is brilliant tactically on his part. Give him all the credit for it.
Absolutely.
Because and I mean, look, we all know
everybody does
time wasting. That man is an expert at time wasting. He CONCACAFs with the best of them.
Yeah. And everybody does it. It's basically part of the game.
Yeah. Anytime the ball went out for goal kick, Goose is first before he goes and gets the ball, is running up and yelling at his defenders. And he looks very angry. He's probably just telling them, hey, great job. But he's looking like, you know, he's wasting a couple extra seconds. And then he puts his hand up to the ref and he's gesturing. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm going to get the ball. You know, and then he's looking around for the ball, and he just
it's just
2 or 3 seconds. Yeah. We were deploying a bit more of that than
we needed it. And the reason we needed it is because we were not clinical in our finishes.
We were not.
We really should have had 4 out of that one.
It's not a take. And you know, I know what you're about to say, and I'm going to agree with you. So go ahead.
I'm just gonna say like we can't leave those opportunities to put matches away on the table.
Yeah, Thiago had a one-on-one. I mean, and from me watching it on TV, it was absolutely like this is a goal,
no brainer. It was a goal. We saw him go in with it in the stand. We're like, that's going in. That's done. Let me get the beer. I had the beer in my hand, ready to throw it.
Yeah, and it, dude, I don't even know. We were all.
He was not at his best. There were a couple people, including Airborne DJ on Twitter, X, whatever we're calling it these days, who felt that he was actually poor. I don't know if he was poor, but it wasn't the best version of Thiago. That's fair. But when he sets the standard so high.
Yeah, we really need him to be much better than
but
poor.
I'll tell you what, if you want to take something positive away from Thiago not being at his best, we still got 2-0.
Yeah.
Still got a clean sheet. So if we can win without Thiago, you know, I realize he's still out there. He's still a threat. It's not like he's just not there and we would have had the same result. Who knows? But, you know, it's good that we're not just reliant. It appears this version of Atlanta United is not going to be reliant on any one or two or three.
Well, he's not the only player capable of getting the ball into space anymore. And we were with where we were last year.
Yes,
like,
yes, yes.
Everybody gets the ball
to Thiago.
Too much of Thiago. Yeah, and exactly.
Too much of him. So maybe could it be that that's why Some people feel that Tiago was a little poor last night, wasn't at his best. And we need to get used to, you know what? Tiago doesn't have to do everything he was doing last season, right? His responsibilities are a little bit lessened, you know? Yeah, we only need him in those moments. I'm personally okay with that too. We were asking too much of him. But anyhow, maybe that's why some people are looking at him going, I'm not really seeing him on the ball quite as much. Well, maybe he doesn't need to be quite as much because we got Mr. Pierogi out there.
I do like, man, did y'all see the Insta post
of his
wife's pierogies? And all it did was
I did see Bartosz Liszt's wife's pierogies, and they look delicious.
Bartosz, I will gladly bring the bottle I have of the Polish buffalo grass vodka over if you want to invite me for pierogi some night. And I don't know how to say that in Polish, but yes, I got weird buffalo grass vodka thing in Poland, and it's delicious. Yeah, when I was there this summer,
it was cool. I'm sure you will find a way to infuse the pierogies with the vodka.
No, you drink the vodka, eat the pierogi. You don't mess with vodka; you just drink. You just drink the vodka.
You don't mess with
that's
the
what
vodka.
They do in Poland.
One does not mess with the vodka.
No, no. So next week we have Toronto with six players out on international duty. What do y'all think?
And Toronto's kind of on fire, but we also know that they also suck, so it's weird.
I mean, I think Toronto is outperforming their expectations from most people so far. It's still very, very early, but credit to them, credit to John Erdman. It seems that he's got Insigne playing well. He'll be there. He's not being called up. I'm pretty sure he's going to be around. Yeah, it's not going to be easy. Toronto, for some reason, has not been easy for us. But I feel a little bit better about going into this situation, missing this number of players again than we did with Columbus for two reasons. One, Toronto is not as good as Columbus. We should be able to handle it a little bit better. And we're just a better team, I think, than last year. And I feel a little bit better about our depth. So I feel as okay as I can be about missing that number of players and going to play a team that's, I don't know if you want to call them hot right now, but they're doing all right. So it's going to be tough. But I don't think we're going to get blanked, embarrassed like we did at Columbus. We're not going to give up 5-6 goals. We're going to get beat? Yeah, probably. And that's a bummer because we want to be better on the road. But who knows? Maybe we can get out a draw or maybe something crazy happens. You know, it could. We just need to, Jamal, just chill, bud. Don't get two yellows in the first half. Just like pace yourself a little bit, man. I know, high energy. You're out there flying around, but just follow Dax's lead and let him, and we'll be okay.
Well, welcome back, Optimist Glenn. We've missed you.
There it is.
Knew it was there somewhere.
Thanks very much for listening, y'all. We really appreciate it. Thanks for sticking through on this one. This was tough. We're pretty tired tonight. We're all still pretty hungover from yesterday and tired from our respective jobs. But
if it's not one thing, it's another.
We're grinding
through this podcast as much as they were able to grind through that,
game. That match. It's
but
very similar.
I still think everybody wins. So,
and we appreciate you powering through this podcast of ours. And if you're a new listener, old listener,
we appreciate your
support. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. You know, if you haven't,
thanks for all the shouts out on the positive shouts on various social medias and calling us out for the things that we're doing on our show with supporter group shows, with these shows, with the Five Aside, which we'll be back later this week for.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yes?
Can I drop a new young
lady in the back. Yes.
I'm so excited. So just get ready for some new content on the Five Aside. We have a really fun couple of episodes planned coming up around the She Believes Cup. We are going to be having a ladies football forum with some special guest stars. So look for that. We're going to bookend it around the She Believes Cup on April 6th. So we'll be dropping that, you know, in and around the match. And then we'll obviously keep you posted on social media and whatnot. But if there's anything y'all want to hear about the state of ladies football in this country, the NWSL, the global game, all this other stuff, we're super excited to have the opportunity to host the women's national team for the first time since the 96 Olympics. It's amazing.
Really
what is going on here from a soccer perspective, and the women are at the front of that.
Says a lot about this city. says a lot that we don't have an NWSL team yet, too, and I'm bummed. But we will get there, I hope.
Yes.
I hope so. My season tickets are ready.
Let's go.
Run the credit card. I'll do it. All right, y'all. We will be back later this week with a five aside. The five takes will probably be back Sunday night. I am not going to be able to watch the game live on Saturday because I will be working a Hawks game. So no spoilers, please. I'll rewatch the match very late at night or very early in the morning. So apologies. The takes themselves will be coming out sometime late Sunday morning. And then we'll record Sunday night. And then look for, like Jennifer said, look for these women pods coming pretty soon. That's going to be really awesome. And I'm happy that we're able to do it. And I'm happy that I have two outstanding women who put up with me on a weekly basis. It means a lot. And thankful you guys are along for this ride. It's been fun. And it continues to be fun. And will continue to be fun. We have a good time doing this. Alrighty, y'all. So, you know, we'll be back in a few days. Until then, y'all be good. We will be back.
Yata.
What the heck was that?
It means cat in Greek. Motherfucking meow, y'all!